Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. My name is Trey Farrow. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today, only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
The Rob Brown Show on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Let's keep it a buck, people. There is not enough time, even in 4 hours, to get to everything we need to get to today. We have yet to get to the Carolina Panthers shocking the NFL yesterday with a road win at Lambeau. We're coming up to that a little bit later on in the program. We have yet to get to South Carolina. We will hear in mere moments from now. Big, big story there. As Mike Shula has been relieved of his duties as the offensive coordinator, we're going to talk about that here in just a few moments from now. The Los Angeles Dodgers over the weekend were able to win game 6 and 7, both on the road at Toronto. And I will ask the question of you baseball fans, was that the best World Series of all time? Because I've got to tell you, I usually try my best not to jump into a conversation like that so immediately at the conclusion of an event, because time changes everything. Perspective is gained by time. And I think it takes some time to let what has been a very good postseason. I think last postseason overall start to finish was probably better. I think this World Series is already in the discussion for the most entertaining World Series I've ever watched. And in what two friends of mine on Saturday night became, I did not think it would be, but was a controversial statement, I don't think that the better team won. And that happens in sports. The better team doesn't win sometimes. There can be a lot of different reasons why. I think the Jays, start to finish, were a better team. I just think the Dodgers were able to gut out and take advantage of two or three big-time Blue Jays mistakes down the stretch in Game 6 and 7. Now, there wasn't many of them. And the Dodgers were by no means flawless in this series. It's just, while the Dodgers, I think, start to finish, made more mistakes in the series, I think the Jays made more critically timed mistakes, and the Dodgers were clutch in the spot that the Jays weren't. We're going to get to that in a minute. Yesterday, NASCAR handed out their season championship. We're coming to that here in just a moment from right now. We have got a lot to get to over the course of the 4 hours. We may not get to it all. Tuesday might end up being Monday, part two. We'll find out. Here's what I do know. What I do know is 7:03 in the morning. What I do know is that you have now less than 57 minutes until you've got to get to the office. What I do know is that when you get to the office, it'll be time to talk sports instead of doing your job. Like I said in the last segment, Don't go above and beyond. Do just enough to get your paycheck and spend the rest of your time talking sports. But if you're going to talk sports, you need to know what's going on. And if you need to know what's going on, you've come to the right place, ladies and gentlemen, because just after 7 a.m. every weekday, the great one and I do this. Indeed, the water cooler cheat sheet, the top three sports stories you need to know before you get to the office and start talking sports this a.m. When you do, this is what you'll be talking about. Let's begin with item number one. It was a shockwave across the National Football League yesterday. The Green Bay Packers entered the game 5-1-1. They entered as one of the three shortest odds to win the NFC. And they were playing at home, the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field. Enter the lowly Carolina Panthers, a 500 football team coming into this game at 4-4. A team that got blown out of the stadium at their house the week before by the mighty Bills of Buffalo. Enter from injury, Bryce Young. Enter the newly established Rico Dowdle.
I can't. All right, there it is.
Enter Chuba Hubbard with trade rumors swirling. Enter the Carolina Panthers 16-13. The defense of this team has themselves a bleeping day. They go to Green Bay, they get the dub. BY, not a great day. 11 of 20. 102, one interception, no touchdowns, a QBR 47, a QB rating of 48. That's not a good day. It is a good day, however, when you can go 11 of 20 for 102, zero tutties, one pick, a QBR of 47, a QB rating of 48, and still win the game because Rico Dowdle, 25 carries, 130 yards, and two rushing touchdowns, plus, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm real mad that everybody else is giving props because I could not wait to talk about it. Apparently in the NFL, three pumps is too many pumps now. You can only do two pumps now. Two pumps is too many pumps. You can only do one pump now. Rico Dowdle hit with the flag in the end zone for doing the key and peel touchdown celly. You can do one pump. But you can't do two pumps. Used to be three pumps, and you could do two pumps. Now you can only do two pumps.
So you could probably do three amigos and get away with that.
You could do three amigos because that's only one pump.
It's only one pump, yeah.
One pump.
Yeah.
But if you do two pumps, too many pumps. You know what? Let the boys play, all right? I think two pumps is an appropriate amount of pumps. Three pumps, too many pumps.
Or save your pumpings for later.
No.
I mean, you know.
Pump all you want, all right? There's times and places where even one pump is too many pumps. For instance, if you go and you give a presentation in front of the boss, and the boss is like, hey, that's an excellent presentation. Not a time or place to even hit one pump. That's bad pump time. However, scoring a touchdown in an NFL game, and I emphasize the word game, that should be, I feel like two pumps is appropriate. Three pumps, yeah, maybe we're crossing a line. One pump, no problem at all.
All right.
Two pumps is appropriate.
If he does it again and does one pump, I think he is testing the NFL. Just find another celebration.
If one pump's too many pumps, I don't want to live in America anymore.
But if I'm sure he thought about how that almost cost a team. I mean, it almost cost him the game.
If we live in a world where you can't do one pump after a touchdown, what is freedom? Liberty is dead if you can't even do one pump.
Well, there was a time, was it like a decade ago where you couldn't do any of that?
Dad, again, we've made a lot of changes. We've progressed since then. We have become a one-pump society. One pump should be fine. In fact, I think you should be able to fit. In fact, if any of you finish a massive presentation today, you stick the landing, the boss says 10 of 10, great job, no notes, hit one pump. Let me know how it goes. All right? I'm going to tell you right now, if when I get done with the show today, I got some stuff I got to do. I'm going to go back to the crib. I want to clean the goal for today, the objective for today, and I don't think she's listening, so I can get away with it and still be a surprise. I'm going to clean up the house for the lady friend today. I want her to come home to like a nice, clean, smelly, goody house, right? When she walks in, she says...
What were you doing while she was gone?
Oh, she's been back since like Thursday.
Oh,
we watched, I had a bunch of work on Friday. I worked all day Saturday. Yesterday, I'm going to be honest, I'm going to get in trouble. I watched effectively all highlights yesterday. I didn't watch any football yesterday until nighttime. We went up to Grandfather Mountain yesterday, a little daytime adventure. We had a great weekend. I want to clean the house up for the lady. If she comes home, she opens the door and she goes, "Smells good. Thank you. You did a great job cleaning the house." I'm going to two pump. Like, in that moment, not later, in that moment, two pump. And I'm going to see if I get in trouble for that. All right. Tedder Owl, McMullen, four grabs, 46 yards. Xavier Leggett had one for 22, but it was the defense of this Carolina Panther football team that made the difference. How about a guy who I might say might have my favorite defensive player in the league name right now, Christian Roseboom. Laying the Roseboom down, 15 tackles, 7 solo, 1 TFL in this game. Tershawn Wharton had himself a sack in this contest. Good day from the Panther defense. Like, that's the story of this game. The offense was okay. Rico Dowdle carried it. Carolina's defense was spectacular. And we're going to talk about this game at length later on. But we do have a bunch more we need to get to, so let's get to item number 2. A number of college football stories all kind of piled into item number 2. We will sprint through all of them because all of them have either already gotten or will be getting some time on the show later on today. First and foremost, we mentioned earlier in the show the pass interference called Dabo Swinney, not pleased with it at all. After the game was over in the press conference, he called in perhaps one of the worst calls I've ever seen in any game in my career. Dabo Swinney fined $10,000 and issued a public reprimand from the ACC. Following his comments criticizing the officiating, it was the pass interference call against Clemson DB Avion Terrell on 4th and 10 that extended Duke's eventual winning touchdown drive. Duke trailed 42-35. They had reached Clemson's 18-yard line with 49 seconds left to go. Terrell and Duke's Quayshon Brown were tangled up on a pass play from Darian Mensa. The penalty went to Terrell, setting up first and goal. Duke would score on the next play, a 3-yard run. Then Duke would convert a 2-point conversion to take a 46-45 lead that held up. Sweeney said after the game.
Wait, we went the entire first hour, and it was never mentioned the kind of guts it took to make that call at the end of that game.
Oh, it's huge. Wait. Adamantium testicles from Manny Diaz to make that call. And I get it. You don't want to play OT in that stadium against that team with those guys. Because the crowd wasn't gone, right? Like, it wasn't an empty stadium. I don't want to go to OT either. We're either going to win or we lose. And if 2 yards costs us the game, it costs us the game. Adamantium testicles. And I didn't know until today I was allowed to say it on the show, but Lonzo did. So now I'm in the clear. For Manny Diaz to make that call in that moment, Duke goes on and gets the win. Nebraska quarterback Dylan Raiola, broken right fibula. He is out for the season, suffered the injury while being sacked, losing a fumble early in the third quarter of that 21-17 loss to USC. Matt Rhule told reporters that Raiola wanted to return to the game, but couldn't run. So Rhule decided it was unsafe to send him back in. Yeah, with a broken freaking fibula, I'd say so. Raiola would not return because of a broken freaking fibula.
There are different degrees of broken.
I mean, yeah, but it's not fractured. I feel like fractured, you'd be like, give me a shot, coach. Broken? That seems not good, especially when you're getting absolutely racked like he was.
A bunch of tape around it.
The AP Top 25 poll is out. Ohio State remains on top. The vote tally of the three teams at top stays the same. 54 first places for number one Ohio State, 11 for number two Indiana, and 1 for number three Texas A&M. Alabama, Georgia, Oregon, Ole Miss all stay 4-7. BYU slides up 2 spots to number 8. Texas Tech up 4 spots to number 9. Notre Dame back inside the top 10, up 2 spots at 6-2. Oklahoma jumped 7 spots after their big win, up to number 11. Virginia now. How about Tony Elliott's squad at number 12? What if the Cavaliers are an ACC representative in the playoffs? 0 people predicted that. Not one. 0 people. Texas is now at number 13, up 7 spots after their win over Vanderbilt. Louisville up to number 14. Could be Virginia and Louisville representing the ACC. Vanderbilt at number 15 after their loss to Texas, down 6 spots. Georgia Tech takes maybe the most shocking. It's both the shocking and most not shocking. Clemson and Florida State aren't good enough to be Dave Dorand, Somebody's got to get Dave Dorand every year. This year, it was the Rambling Wreck down to number 16. Utah up 7 to number 17. Miami, after their next loss to 6-2, drops 8 spots down to number 18. Mizzou stays at 19. USC up 3 spots to 20. Michigan stays at 21. Memphis up 3 spots to number 3. Tennessee takes a tough L, down 9 spots to number 23. Washington goes from unranked to 24. And the Bearcats of Cincinnati, with their second loss, drop 8 spots down to number 25.
And now it goes back into irrelevancy, which it should because of tomorrow, right? Is it tomorrow?
Tomorrow is playoff rankings number 1. Not irrelevancy, because I promise you, there's a lot of playoff voters who are going to be looking at this poll today and comparing it and contrasting it with reality.
No way. Those guys watch every single game from all those teams, and they don't look at the AP for anything.
I genuinely wish we could all believe that, but like we don't, right? Like we don't. We just don't. Hey, we got a lot more we got to get to because we still have item number 3. Item number 3 in the water cooler cheat sheet. 2 championships were handed out this weekend. We start in NASCAR. Kyle Larson, now a 2-time NASCAR Cup Series champion, was able to get the win at Phoenix yesterday. But by goodness gracious, was there drama that took place. It looked like, with just a few laps to go, Denny Hamlin was going to remove his name from the list of greatest drivers to never win a championship. He had the lead up front. And with a couple of laps left to go, championship contender William Byron gets a flat, goes into the wall, brings out a caution, and we have to go to overtime. Here's the problem. Denny Hamlin had been one of the longest cars on the track without a pit. Denny Hamlin and the rest of the cars all had to pit. Hamlin, however, because of the wear and tear, had to take 4 tires, where Kyle Larson only had to take 2. The result of that? Denny Hamlin found himself starting with 2 laps to go in 10th place, Kyle Larson in 5th, and Hamlin did just not have the time. If it would have been 2 laps longer, very good chance Denny Hamlin would have gotten up there and been able to take the lead away from ultimate winner Ryan Blaney. And by the way, I don't know who could feel worse than Ryan Blaney. In the race until he wasn't last week, he would have been a championship driver this week. He wasn't a championship driver this week, yet he won the race at Phoenix. Instead, Kyle Larson checks inside the top 5. Hamlin was just too far back, and Kyle Larson able to get the NASCAR Sprint Cup Championship. We will address that later on in the show. The other championship, yeah, we're going back to Saturday. Worth it. This may have been, and I'll let you tell me if you think it twas or twas not. I think Dodgers Blue Jays might have been the greatest World Series we've ever seen, at least in recent memory. We've had some good ones. We've had some bangers, some classics. This 7-gamer between the Dodgers and the Jays was as good as you could have expected. The Jays win game 5 in L.A. They go back to Toronto, Canada, needing to win 1 of 2. The Dodgers had to be perfect. The Dodgers get game 6. It sets up the sexiest words in sports. Game 7 on Saturday night. We got 11 innings of incredible baseball, and when it came down to it, the Dodgers able to get the win. Everybody who is anybody in this game pitched, and that included, for the final 2.2 innings, Yoshinobu Yamamoto. 2.2 innings, 1 hit, no runs, K'd 1, kept the Jays in a bases-loaded, one-out scenario from getting anything done. And it allowed the Dodgers to get the final run when Will Smith went gigantodong, 366 to left field in the top of the 11th. The Jays had 3 or 4 chances in the last 3 innings, 9, 10, and 11, to put this thing away and just could not get it done and finish. We're going to talk about this later because I made a statement I did not think was controversial to my friends. We'll see if it is on the radio. I don't think the better team won the series. I think the team that was the most clutch, I think the team that was carrying around those adamantium stones late in the game, just didn't make mistakes when Toronto did, and they won the World Series. Congratulations to Dodger Chris, who texts the show. He said, Dodger Chris, formerly UNC Chris, I'll go back when we're relevant. That's fair. All right, we're going to talk World Series. We'll talk NASCAR. We got a lot more college football, including when we come back. Mike Shula out as the OC at South Carolina. Shane Beamer spoke on why and why he made that decision. I'll give you some audio from Shane, and we'll react to it next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
With TikTok ads, our revenue went up $10 million year over year during back-to-school season. Penn Foster is online education. TikTok is great because the reach is incredible for finding a lot of different types of audiences on the platform. Creator content at scale allowed us to easily develop and distribute creator-led ads. Our return on ad spend for TikTok is 21% higher than the next best channel.
Start growing your business today. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, and you. If you have been listening to this show, you know that yours truly has been wildly disappointed with the South Carolina Gamecock football program. And I have stacked the majority of the blame primarily in one spot. The spot that I stacked the majority of the blame is on offensive coordinator Mike Shula. I have just not been happy with the performance. That's the message that was delivered to Mike Shula yesterday by head coach Shane Beamer. Now, I have two clips as Shane Beamer was on the SEC teleconference yesterday after the firing and addressed the arrival at the conclusion, the decision to relieve Mike Shula of his duties as offensive coordinator. When they got to the spot to talk about it, here is what Shane had to say. In fact, let me get, I got to make sure. See, I'm remembering to flip the thing over before I play it this time.
Yeah, but you're talking about it. You could have, like, talked up to it while you're fixing it.
I had already gotten to the point. It's screwed. Anyway, here's Shane-O. So there you go. There's Shane Beamer. There's the comments that he made after the decision to relieve Mike Shula of his duties as offensive coordinator. This was likely a decision that was a long time in the making. This was a decision that it's not that anybody wants to see anybody lose their job. But at the end of the day, if you're not doing your job, that's just how the world works, right? And when I looked at this South Carolina offense coming into the season, a season which I don't think it was too optimistic. I don't think it was too elevated to say 9 wins felt on the table. 8 wins felt like the watermark, like 8-4. Tough schedule. Nobody's arguing. But 8-4 felt like it was very much on the table. Win the first 5, take 3 of the back 7, or take 4 of the back 7, you're in good shape. We're not even close to that. And while the expectations may be a little higher at Clemson, that's how you get to that level. You elevate them a little bit at a time. There is the old coaching cliche of you start by losing big, then you get to where you're losing small, then you get to where you're winning small, and then eventually you'll get to where you're winning big. You're going the opposite direction here. And when you take over a Gamecock offense that was poised to be, and I think it's fair, let's put it this way. Even with Lenora Sellers entering the season with a good chunk of Heisman Trophy buzz, I do not think that it was an unrealistic expectation. Not to say I expect the Gamecocks to have the most dominant offense in the Southeastern Conference. No. I do think it is fair to say the expectation was don't have the worst offense in the Southeastern Conference, which you do. You are averaging 19.7 points per game. That is dead last in the Southeastern Conference. You are averaging 294.1 yards per game. That is not just last in the conference. It is also the only offense in the conference that is not averaging at least 300 yards. That includes Kentucky. That includes Arkansas. That includes Mississippi State. The only offense in the conference not getting to 300 yards a game. You're dead last in points. Just about every statistical category, you're dead last in. This was the right move. Now, there's a few questions that arise. I want to talk a little bit about what comes next. I want to talk a little bit about what Shane decides to do for the remainder of this year, what he decides to do for filling the role next year. But there is one other thing that popped into my brain yesterday when I was out and about with the lady and I got a ping on the cell phone that said, "You've got mail." And the notification I got was Shane Beamer makes coaching change. And I went, "Oh, it's from the university. Oh, it's got to be Shula, right?" And it was. So the very first question that popped into my mind was this Shane Beamer's decision, or did Jeremiah Donati or the AD or the AD or someone from the AD's office push him into this? "Hey, coach, this ain't it. This isn't what we're looking for. You need to make a change." Well, Shane addressed that on the same call. So, I will take Shane at his word on this. I will say, starting that answer off with...
So you doubt that? I mean, so you...
No, I'll take him at his word. I will take him at his word. Do I think that there was no pressure on Shane Beamer to make this decision? Not at all. I think he was pressured. I think it was more along the lines of like, "Hey, coach, like, you need to make a change. This is the most likely one. We're not going to make you do it, but just do know that, like, what you decide to do is going to impact how we in the athletics department look at you. And if a spot where you have the last placed offense in every statistical category, if that's good enough for you and you're not going to make a change, then we're going to evaluate how you evaluate that." I'll take him at his word.
That's just you speculating, though.
1,000%.
Yeah,
I admit that.
Just in case someone just tuned in.
I admit that, but I view it the same way as if we got called down to the office and we got told, "Hey, man, you're 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock ordinarily in the show. 9 o'clock is usually where we do our professional sports talk, right? It's where we put the NFL most of the time. It's where we put a lot of our interviews on Fridays, whatever. Like, 9 o'clock is usually kind of its own separate animal from the rest of the show every day. If we got called down to the office and the boss said, "Hey, your analytics, your ratings, your online listenership, whatever, it tanks at 9 o'clock. Now, we're not telling you what to do about that. We're just letting you know we are looking and we see that. And we recognize something might have to change about that. We're not going to tell you what to do. So if you and I came in here and we just kept doing the same thing in the 9 o'clock hour, we both realized that at some point we would get called down there the next time. And they would say, "Not only has nothing changed about the 9 o'clock hour, but now the ratings haven't changed in the 9 o'clock hour." They are going to evaluate our response to being told X, Y, or Z isn't good enough right now. And I think that's probably what happened here. I think Shane probably got told, "We have zero interest in having the worst offense in the Southeastern Conference." And in a year where Last year, we had a quarterback who in the back half of the season generated more buzz and publicity about this program than we've had since Steve Spurrier took the job. Not was coaching, took the job in the first place. And now we are, and I'm just saying this from somebody on the outside looking in, South Carolina is irrelevant in the national discussion. I know that because I either host, fill in, or guest weekly on two or three different nationally syndicated shows. And through the entire offseason, I got asked a gazillion questions about South Carolina. And through the first 3 weeks of the season, I got asked a gazillion questions about South Carolina. And now, I was on BetMGM Tonight last Tuesday. I guest hosted with PJ Glasser this past Saturday. I'll be on BetMGM Tonight tomorrow. I'll be on another show, I think, next Sunday. Not one conversation has come up about this team. You went from a team that was generating as much buzz as anybody to nothing. And that's because you've got a Heisman Trophy quarterback who has, through nine games, seven touchdowns and five interceptions. You have an offense that is dead last in the Southeastern Conference. You are the Kentucky now. That's where you are. Kentucky just went on the road and got a win over Auburn. Got Hugh Freeze fired. We'll talk about that later. But that's where you are. So I don't think Shane got told, you're going to fire Mike Shula. But I do think Jeremiah Donati probably said, yo, it's year one for me. This is not what I want to have as the foundation for my time as the AD here. I'm not telling you what you have to do, Shane. I am telling you, I'm looking at the numbers, and what I'm looking at here isn't good enough, so fix it. And I think this was step one. Here's the thing. This was the easy and obvious decision to be made. Easy and obvious decision to get made. The only shock is it took this long to get here. Now, do we see this thing open up moving forward? You've still got plenty of competition ahead of you. We'll talk more about this later on in the show. Want to get to Dabo. Is he on a hot seat or not? I got a thought on that. We'll hit that when we come back on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. My name is Trey Farrow. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today, only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
All right, let me give you a few more thoughts on the decision to terminate Mike Shula as offensive coordinator for South Carolina. Then I will flip the conversation over to Dabo Swinney because I saw a lot of tweets and whatnot with the phrase hot seat attached to it, and I'd like to get to that. But let's get to Shula for just a minute. Look, I've said a couple of times already, the offense isn't just not good enough. It's bad. It's objectively bad. It is dead last in the conference. And the problem that I have was the Alabama game, which we talked about, obviously, at length last week. I thought that that was not just a winnable game. I thought that was a game you had to win. You had everything in your possession. You had everything in your direction in the fourth quarter of that football game. And for whatever reason, it just went away. And we had a texter to the show last week who said, everything that worked had Sean Elliott's fingerprints all over it. And then in the fourth quarter, everything that didn't work had Mike Shula's fingerprints all over it. And the more I thought about it, the more I went back and kind of rewatched that game and took some notes, paid attention, the more I think that that is absolutely correct, up to and including the play that Lenora Sellers fumbled on that ultimately gave Alabama the ball back to go win the game. So I concur. I agree with all of it. So with all of that being said, this was a decision that I think was likely a long time coming. This was a decision that I think could have been made 2 or 3 weeks ago. It was a decision that I think ultimately was sometimes the obvious decision is the right decision. And the place that I am now in a spot of concern is that the reason that the decision that was the obvious decision, and the obvious decision regularly being the right decision, the reason that this is a concern for me is I am afraid that Shane may create a world for himself that Dabo Swinney has found himself in over the last two seasons, with the difference being that Dabo's got a couple of rings and two other championship appearances, and Shane's got nothing in his fifth year at South Carolina to say, yeah, like things have been great, now they're not, but they can be again. It's just a matter of we've been to the mountain middle, and now we've fallen back off. And that's what I'm concerned about. Yeah, because Dabo's been to the mountaintop. Shane's been to like the mountain middle. And now we've fallen back off.
It has to have a name.
That we've been
the
on
the middle of the mountain has to have a name.
Does it? Isn't it just the side of the mountain? That's the phrase. We've been to the side of the mountain.
That works.
And we've fallen back off. But I believe we can get back halfway up the mountain, and we will. Right? Like, that's the spot. So that brings me to Dabo, and I place him to some degree in the same boat. That game against Duke was very winnable. And whether or not you want to blame it on the pass interference, which I do think cost Clemson the game, I do have to say the expectation, regardless of if they had won or lost that game, the expectation is higher than Duke comes to your crib and hangs 40-plus on you. I don't care if it's the best Duke team of all time or not. I don't care if Darian Mensah is the best Duke quarterback of all time. I don't care if it's the best set of Duke skill position players ever or not. All I care about is that you are expected to be better than Duke even when Duke's at their best. That's just the expectation. Saturday, I was hosting what used to be Bet for the Cycle, but it was Inside the Betting Lines now with PJ Glasser, filling in for Paul Aspen. Great show. Enjoyed it greatly. Appreciate them having me. And we were watching the Clemson game as we were doing the show. And there were a couple of things. Number one, this is, and I said this to a dear friend of mine who was a Clemson fan on Saturday, this has got to be the single most talented bad defense I've ever seen. Anybody want to object to that? This might be the most talented bad defense I've ever seen.
I don't know. There were some Muschamp defenses where it's like, are you kidding me? You're supposed to be a defensive guy.
I don't disagree.
Like, yeah.
Did any of them have, at a minimum, two NFL first round and maybe 2 to 3 more second to fourth round draft picks? I don't think so. I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just saying, for me, top of my head, this has got to be the most talented bad defense that I've ever seen. Offensively, I don't know what you want. You get 45 points out of your offense? Like, you should be able to win the game. And he did it without Bryant Wesco Jr. So, we saw Dabo absolutely popping off on the sideline on his defense, which, again, I think was warranted, right? Like, I didn't have a problem with it. Dabo was yelling so loud you could hear him over the announcers on the broadcast. And then there was after the game.
And apparently there was a lot of cursing going on.
Yeah, I want you to know, I pulled the audio, but I'm not going to play it because I don't know if, like, it would pass the test or not. So I was like, nah, you all saw it. You've all heard it. I don't know if Dabo dropped.
That kind of goes against type and how we're sold about that place.
I mean, listen, I know a lot of good people.
Which is why a lot of people are upset right now. I'm just saying.
Maybe so. Like,
we all get angry, and some people, when they get angry, that's what they do.
Yeah, and again, I think you look at it through, and you can correct me if I'm taking this too far because it is about you. I think that if you look at it through the lens of cursing is bad, sure, I can see. It's not to me. I don't care.
By the way, I mean, there's only one, as far as I know, there's only one curse in the Bible that you're not supposed to say. So I don't curse because I don't choose to, because I choose to be a rebel and not like everyone else. But I don't know if this has anything to do with his religion or anything
yeah.
that people are being critical of. So you'd be wrong in your assumption.
No, that's why I said, correct me if I'm wrong.
I mean,
because I acknowledge I might be. What I'm saying is, I don't care if Dabo curses on the sideline in a football. I don't care if he curses at a press conference, but I certainly don't care on a sideline of a football game.
Do you agree it kind of goes against his image, though?
I will say this, because I've been asked that question once already, and my response was,
it goes against his sales pitch. That's what it does.
The response I'll give is, I've never heard Dabo say or insinuate, I don't cuss. He doesn't do it in front of the media. He doesn't do it in front of the general public. Fine. But I've never heard him say.
That's kind of.
No.
That's the general public for sure.
No. Okay. Because I've never heard him say, I'm never going to cuss my players. I'll never cuss your kids out. Now, if he's telling parents, I'll never cuss your kids out, and then it happened, that's one thing. And on top of that, for the record, I don't know that he cussed. That's just the story. I listened to the audio. I bumped up the volume. I didn't hear anything that made me go, oh, that was definitely an F-bomb. If it was, I wouldn't care. Telling kids, I won't cuss.
I think we put some stuff on the fans' social media. So
I didn't put it there, and I'm not going to – I don't know. But here's what I will say. I don't care about that. What I did care about was when Dabo went to the presser and this happened. Of course you're not going to play. Dabo went to the presser, and he was obviously taking a bunch of questions about it. And now, here's what he said. So, what's interesting...
Did he just say, can't say I blame him?
Yes, he did.
So,
now...
So, that makes it sound like he if he was fired, he wouldn't be shocked.
Right. Okay. Again, I think that Dabo being Dabo and having covered him.
I don't think that's going to happen, but I mean still.
Dabo being Dabo and having covering Dabo as long as I have covered him from a distance when I was in Florida covering Florida State and Clemson was the team that they were looking up at. And now obviously being here in the upstate for coming up on six seasons now. Dabo Swinney is very tongue in cheek behind a mic. The I wouldn't blame him is not what's interesting because, again, I think that's Dabo just being tongue-in-cheek. What I did find interesting was when he said Graham's in the room talking about 80 Graham Neff. And the reason that is interesting is because, and I got this from a friend of mine, we'll say friend of mine in media who covers every Clemson game in person. And I was told Graham's never in the room for post-game press conferences. He lets Dabo run that thing. This is the... I got told by a media member, first time that Graham Neff was in the room, and certainly in a way that it was obvious that he was in the room. And so the thought that I had...
Vote of confidence.
The thought that I had was, as we talked about with Shane in the last segment, do I think Shane got told this is what you're going to do, fire Mike Shula? No. But I do think Shane got told, eyes on, bud. And we see what's on paper, and we see what's not good enough, and it's on you to fix it. We're not going to tell you how to fix it. We are going to tell you it better get fixed. I do have to wonder, is this Graham Neff, without giving the vote of confidence, without releasing a press release, without doing a news conference, is this Graham Neff just making sure Dabo sees me? Just know that I'm looking. Just know that I'm invested. Just know that I'm poking around. And so I got asked when I had that conversation with my dear friend who was a Clemson fan, and I said, I think this is not Graham Neff stepping in and saying, Dabo, here's what I want you to do next. I think that this is Graham Neff saying, Dabo, I'm looking. I'm here. I'm eyes on the product. I'm evaluating. I'm analyzing. You better get it course corrected. Do I think Dabo Swinney is on a hot seat for this season? I do not. Because while I have gotten on him a little bit about giving us history lectures about what he has done and not done at Clemson, I do think, as I mentioned earlier in the show, the expectation is the expectation. And even if you're the one that set the expectation, nobody gets to say, yeah, I know I'm not meeting expectations, but let's be real. They're only expectations because of me. And then have somebody with expectations go, you're right. I should lower them. Not in a professional setting. Maybe you can get away with that, like, in your house. Not in a professional setting. And so the vibes to me are, we have eyes on the product. I don't think Dabo's on the hot seat. What I do think is that Dabo is going to be instructed, your offseason's going to be different this year. Your offseason is going to be different this year. And what I mean by that is, I have called this program over the past few weeks a nepotism program. And I've called it that because, and I'm not telling Clemson fans anything they're not already aware of, and I'm certainly not the only one with this take. Because of the number of former players and former students and friends and family and whatever that are in, on, and around this football program. And I think that Dabo is going to be told, hey, no more. That can't happen anymore. Here's part of the reason why. The Clemson Insider posted a very long and very interesting article. Now take it with a shaker of salt. I think the guys at the Clemson Insider largely do a very good job, but this may or may not be speculative. Here's what they wrote on their website, authored by Will Vandervoort. Dated November 2nd, 2025. Headline, major changes coming to Clemson football. They wrote, quote, it does not matter who you are or what you have accomplished in the past. When your team does not reach its expectations or, even worse, has a historically bad season, things must be changed. The Clemson Insider has spent several weeks gathering information since the Tigers season, which started out with the number 4 preseason ranking, spiraled out of control. Here are some of the issues we have uncovered at this point. And here are the bullet points very quickly. Number 1, we can tell you through multiple sources that there is tension in the football complex and major changes are coming to the football staff. Some of these changes may surprise some of you. If you recall, Dabo Swinney pointed out in his postgame press conference that athletic director Graham Neff was in the room, which we can say is very unusual. Tiger Insider learned that there is some tension between Swinney and the administration at Clemson. Understand, Swinney is a very proud person, and we are hearing that the administration is pushing him to make serious changes to his program, and Clemson's head coach is not too happy that others are telling him how to run his program after what he has done for the university. If this sounds familiar to you, it should. There were some of the similar problems former Clemson baseball coach Jack Leggett had the year before he was fired following the 2015 season. Remember, Leggett did a lot of great things during his 22 years at Clemson. He won more than 900 games, took Clemson to 6 College World Series appearances, and was inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame. As TCI documented a number of times, it is how the baseball program fell off when recruiting became a financial issue, and we are seeing a similar drop-off in football since NIL started in 2021. We are not saying that Dabo Swinney is going to be fired, and we are confident that will not happen this year. We can just tell you that there are parallels, and Leggett and Swinney are more alike than you might think. Like Leggett, we are told Swinney is feeling disrespected as well. Right now, as Swinney leaves Clemson, we can tell you that is going to be a Dabo Swinney decision. We have been told some other things, but we are working our sources to confirm some of those items, and we will pass them along at the appropriate time. That is from the Clemson Insider. Do I think Dabo's on a hot seat? Not from the perspective of, hey man, if this isn't fixed by the end of the year, we will let you go. Do I think he's on the hot seat from the perspective of, hey man, you're going to have to change a lot this offseason or you will be on the hot seat next year? Absolutely. I've already said one time, and I will say it again right now. If Dabo Swinney is not coaching Clemson this year or next year, It'll be because Dabo decides to step away. Says, no, this ain't how I'm going to run my program. And there will be some smaller program elsewhere that will say, Dabo, you come over here, you can run the program however you want. Complete and total autonomy.
I know you're saying smaller, but if you were going to jump and you were afraid that you're going to be let go, this is the best year to jump now.
I agree. A lot of open jobs. Could Dabo go to Stanford and have Andrew Luck say anything and everything you want, you do whatever.
You're saying lower level. Why wouldn't he be a...
Because the Florida Gators are not giving him full autonomy over the program.
Well, Penn State might.
Penn State is not going to. AD literally said, we will have a coach who attacks the portal and embraces NIL. That is Oppo Sweeney.
All right, so this is the thing you think is going to keep him from. Okay.
I think what is keeping him from keeping the edge at Clemson is what would keep him from. This is why I think if he's leaving, it's not to go to Florida, LSU, Penn State. If he leaves, it's to go to Kentucky. It's to go to Stanford. It's to go to Virginia Tech, who, by the way, apparently has already hired James Franklin. We'll talk more about that. I don't think Dabo's on a hot seat. I do think Dabo Sweeney is being told, you're going to make changes this offseason, or you will be on the hot seat next year. I do think that is likely the possibility. We will talk more about this. We'll get to the Panthers, the World Series, the NASCAR Championship, all of that in the next hour of the show, as well as John Blau to talk about this at 8:40. We get to a sports flash now.
Carolina Panthers shocked the NFL with a 16-13 win over the Packers on the road yesterday, handing Green Bay just their second loss of the season. Rico Dowdle carried the team with 130 yards on 25 carries and a pair of touchdowns. Packers quarterback Jordan Love went 26-37 for 273 yards, threw no touchdowns, and was picked once. The South Carolina Gamecocks have fired offensive coordinator Mike Shula after their fourth straight loss, dropping them to 3-6 record. Shula's offensive has seen Lenore Sellers struggle with just 7 touchdown passes and 5 interceptions through 9 games. The Gamecocks rank last in the SEC in both points scored and yards per game. Proofreading is very important. Kyle Larson won the second NASCAR Cup Series championship yesterday in a thrilling race that came down to an overtime shootout between himself and Denny Hamlin, denying Hamlin his first ever title.
With TikTok ads, our revenue went up $10 million year over year during back-to-school season. Penn Foster is online education. TikTok is great because the reach is incredible for finding a lot of different types of audiences on the platform. Creator content at scale allowed us to easily develop and distribute creator-led ads. Our return on ad spend for TikTok is 21% higher than the next best channel.
Start growing your business today. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.